رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a very, very beautiful hadith, "Addal al-khayr kafa'ilihi," that the person who guides to something good is like the one who does that good. Meaning, if you, for example, advise someone to become a hafiz of the Quran, you complete that action, or as they perform that action, every single reward that they get for that action actually goes to you as well, without any decrease in their reward. So this hadith actually highlights a very, very powerful principle within our deen of progressing by using the ability to guide others to good. So the Prophet ﷺ said, look how few words they are. Addal ala al-khayr. The person who guides to good, kafa'ilihi, is like the person who does that good deed. Now if you look at the lives of the Sahaba, you'll see that no group of people more beautifully exemplified the concept present within this hadith. And furthermore, in particular, you look at the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the greatest companion among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that were you to take the iman of Abu Bakr and place it on one side of a scale, and place the iman of the ummah on the other side of a scale, the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would outweigh. In fact, furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, that I have repaid every single debt to any person in this world except the debt of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay it on the day of judgment. So you can imagine how great the acts of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were in this deen. But if you look at his life, people often emphasize within his life, they say, okay, look, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he used to pray, he used to give charity, he used to fast. So they focus on all the deeds that he did. But even looking at his life and taking it a step further, you'll see that not only did he do good deeds, but he beautifully exemplified this principle of addal al-khayr kafa'ilihi. So you look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first thing he does, first of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to him and says, Ya Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, this is my state, I've received wahi, I've become a prophet, there's only one Allah. Abu Bakr immediately without hesitation takes iman from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that every single person who was given the da'wah to iman hesitated for at least a moment, except Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When he took iman, he took it instantaneously. Without a second of hesitation, he immediately took the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, proclaimed the shahada, and became the first adult male to enter within the deen. No hesitation for a moment. That in and of itself would be an incredible act. Just the fact that he did that without a moment of hesitation was enough to catch the attention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such that he made a statement which became permanently imprinted in the collection of hadith, which actually is a type of wahi. But furthermore, not only did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu take iman from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instantaneously, but then he went and he brought so many other people into the deen, such that the majority of the ashara mubashara, the majority of them were actually brought by Abu Bakr to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the conduit through which they came. So one thing is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did these incredible deeds and earned this incredible reward. But beyond that, he was the conduit to all of these great people who became the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 people who were given the glad tidings of Jannah while still in this world. So every single deed that those people did for the history of Islam, all the support that they gave to Islam, all the base that they formed for the building of Islam over the next 1400 years, all of that reward goes through them, through Abu Bakr, and then comes into the account of all of the group of people together. So imagine that. That was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He understood the principles of this deen. He spoke very little. Go through the collection of hadith. You barely find any hadith from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Barely can you find a hadith. Because he didn't spend his time discussing things or saying things. He simply acted upon the deen. He's the best example. So two principles that he highlighted. One was that he became the foremost of the foremost in performing good deeds. And two, he became the foremost and the foremost in calling others to perform those deeds. So that when they performed those deeds, he also received a portion of the reward. And that's why the iman of Abu Bakr is so unique. Anything that we do today, anything that I do, anything that you do, anything that any Muslim does, in the end, a portion of it is going to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because of the support that he gave for Islam, because of the establishment of his deen. In some way, shape, or form, the whole building of the deen, the whole essence of the deen, was upon his shoulders. Because of the sacrifices that he made, because of the effort that he made to build this small ummah in the very, very beginning years of Islam. So in the end, everything that we do in this day and age, even 1400 years later, it's going through the account of Abu Bakr. You look today, economics in the West has picked up on this concept. You look at these things like Amway and these other type of organizations, what do? They say, well, you buy something, you convince two other people to buy it, whenever they buy something, you'll get something. And then tell those people to also convince a few other people to buy it. When they buy something, then you'll get something, and then the person after them will get something. And they create this enormous chain of reward. That's exactly the chain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established within this deen 1400 years ago. It's nothing new, they just took a concept from our deen, applied it in economics. It's such a powerful concept that it becomes a great marketing tool and people make millions of dollars off this. So, this is the essence of our deen. Adal alal khair kafa'ilihi. Now, the people who understood this concept were people who were able to benefit despite inconsistencies within themselves. And that's actually the essence of why I'm raising this point. If we look at ourselves, we have tremendous inconsistency in our deeds. We're lacking in so many ways. But the secret of our progress then becomes finding people who will make a change and who will be able to practice this deen and bringing them into it, so that where we have deficiencies, those people's deeds will fill those holes and create, make us or give us a complete reward. So this is very essential in this day and age. This is very essential for us, that we battle, that where our line of da'wah is drawn, is that it be a line where we bring people who are outside of the deen and far from the deen back into the deen, so that when they perform good deeds, we get the same reward. Now, I'll give you an example, just from my own life. I have a friend, and I've told many of you about him. His name is Kamal. So I went to the University of Chicago. We were students together there. When we were students together, both of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a tawfiq to get closer to him and to realize that we were far away from Allah. Our lives changed while we were in university, and both of us were together. When Shaykh Zulfiqar came in 1993, May of 1993, I invited Kamal to my house to spend time with Shaykh Zulfiqar. In that gathering, his life changed to such a degree. I wish I could show you a picture of him before. I wish you could know him before and you could know him after. His life flipped in that gathering. And subsequently, everything within his life changed such that right now, he's doing a mufti course in Karachi in Pakistan. He went from University of Chicago political science major to Mufti Kamal in a period of, 9 or 10 years. And I was just speaking to him on the phone yesterday. I shared this story with many of you. He said to me while we were talking, he said that my teachers in ifta are so proficient that they've managed to train me in such a way that in such a short period of time, I've earned the respect of many, many big muftis within Pakistan. And a situation recently arose where someone asked for a fatwa from Darul Uloom Karachi, which is Mufti Taqi Usmani Saab's, one of the great muftis of Pakistan, from his madrasa and from the madrasa where Mufti Kamal is studying. So the same question was posed to both madrasas. The Darul Uloom Karachi, there are two muftis there who are the representatives of Mufti Taqi Usmani Saab, who are actually the underlings of him. They've been doing this for many years. They wrote a fatwa, and they released their fatwa. Mufti Kamal, he was working on his fatwa, albeit he only had 7 or 8 months of training so far. He was working on his fatwa. When he came up with his conclusion, he saw that it was in contradiction to the fatwa that these muftis came up with at Darul Uloom Karachi. So he obviously assumed that he was wrong because he is very inexperienced. So he took it to his teacher and he said, "This is my fatwa, this is my research, this is what I've come up with, this is their fatwa, can you please review it?" So they had a big meeting in their madrasa. And this mufti, who is teaching Mufti Kamal, is one of the great muftis of Pakistan as well. They reviewed it and they said, "We think your fatwa is correct." They're telling Mufti Kamal this. So you take this fatwa and you take it to the muftis in Darul Uloom Karachi and you show them your fatwa and ask them what they think. He took it there, they read his fatwa, and then after reading his fatwa, they said, your fatwa is correct, our fatwa was an error, we are revoking our fatwa and we're releasing your fatwa as the official fatwa on this position. Imagine. A student, 8, 9, 10 years ago, sitting in University of Chicago, would never have imagined that he had no dream of becoming an alim, no dream of becoming a mufti, no dream of inculcating the sunnah and the sharia the way it is now upon him. He's a model of the sunnah and the sharia. But from that gathering, in 1993, in the basement, everything gets traced down to there. When I was studying in Pakistan, and when I came back, he came to visit me. One of the things he asked me, he said, let's go in the basement, I want to see that basement again. So we went to my parents' basement, we went down in the basement, and there he started recalling that this is the place where I changed. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the tawfiq. Now when I sit down and I look at my life, I see all the inconsistencies that exist within my deeds. There are so many holes, I don't even know how I get this title of Muslim, let alone anything more. But then I start thinking, subhanallah, I'm so lucky that I called Mufti Kamal to that basement on that day. Because I would think about this principle. Adad alal khayr kafa'ilihi. Because I brought him into that basement, every single thing that he now subsequently does comes into my account. All these fatawa that he's writing and all this effort that he's putting in, I'm getting a portion of that reward, inshaAllah. And that's actually the thing that I have hope for on the Day of Judgment. I know that my book of deeds will be full of holes. I know that there will be inconsistencies beyond my imagination in my book of deeds, but then on the Day of Judgment, I'll be able to say, yes Allah, I was completely deficient, but I brought this person, and this person, and this person, and I tried to make them closer to you, ya Allah. So the good that they did, your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most truthful of all, said that, أَدَّالَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. So ya Allah, give me some of their reward as well. That's the hope that I have on the Day of Judgment. So where there are inconsistencies within us, those will always be there. But our goal, and one of our jobs, is to find those people who have sincere talab, who are good people in essence, because those are the people that their lives can change. And bring them in the company of more righteous people, so that when they change, inshallah, we receive a portion of the reward as well. Now, one, that applies to the sphere of our friends. So we have many friends. Many of us have cousins, friends, nephews. We can bring these people into these types of gatherings. Furthermore, it applies to our children. On the Day of Judgment, they too will be a proof for us. If we guide them towards hifz, towards inculcation of the sharia, towards the sunnah, and we guide them towards becoming servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, when their deeds are brought forth, a portion of that will come to us as well. So this hadith is actually very encompassing. Subhanallah, so few words, but yet such a powerful message. Adad alal khayr kafa'ilihi. So my reminder to you is that we have this opportunity coming up, in that Shaykh Zulfikar is coming for the Hanukkah, we have him coming for 3 days, and these types of people, you know, Allah chooses these types of people, and Allah trains them in ways which we can never begin to imagine. So here you have an opportunity to gain the suhbah of someone who is very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first reminder is, get yourselves there. And I think we've already talked about that on several occasions. The second reminder is that you should bring other people. Not to make it a party or to bring your friends so that they can hang out. Look at those people in your life who are sincere, who you think need to make a change, and who you think have the ability to make that change, and then bring them in. Bring them in and let them benefit from this gathering. Who knows? Who knows? In a couple of moments, a spark may be lit in their heart. And if that spark lights in their heart, and it catches fire, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to burn within them, that inshallah on the Day of Judgment will provide you tremendous reward. Tremendous reward. And so that is the secret of our deen. One, as-sabiqun as-sabiqun, to be the foremost in your deeds. And two, to call people to be the foremost in their deeds as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to inculcate this simple principle. Adal al-khayr kafa'ilihi. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.